welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host this week, Brad.
So I had a thought as we were, as I was waiting for you to come on tonight. And it's a funny thought, but it's odd because in some weird, perverse way, I feel like that the GOP, especially in the federal government, it's actually really sad not to have Donald Trump around. And, like, it wouldn't even be so bad if he was still, like, on Twitter. Like, if he was still doing shit on social media. But the fact that he's, like, relegated to just doing, you know, wedding toast where he complains about things at Mar-a-Lago constantly. Because he had another one.
Oh, no.
It really lets us focus. And also the fact, sorry, that we don't have, like, an insane president. Like, just a normal-ass president doing normal things. Really lets us focus on all the dumb shit that the current House and Senate GOP does that we really
don't get to hide.
Right, that we really couldn't pay full attention to because of the insanity that we had to deal with for the 4 years previous to this one.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely true. Yeah, no, they don't have a blanket to hide under. So their madness is on full display. And we'll get into it like right off the top. But I wanted to go back because I wasn't on the episode last time where you guys talked about the Derek Chauvin case. Mm-hmm. And I felt like listening to two mayonnaise jars talk about race is just ridiculous. No, I thought you guys did a good job.
Yeah, to be fair, like if you want the actual good perspective that you should seek out on that case, which is the black perspective, then go listen to Black on Black Cinema because you guys talked about it on there. So,
right. So I just, for people who know, don't listen to that show, how dare you? but I'll just give my like sort of brief thoughts on it. Look, it's, you know, people were, I noticed that there was a, much like everything in America, there was a racial divide in the response of the case. And I don't mean like, oh, Derek Chauvin should have gotten off. I mean, like on the liberal side, right? Like people who wanted him to be found guilty. And I think it's an interesting divide of white people saying, "Hey, this is justice. This is great. You know, I'm glad." Like, don't get me wrong. Black people are happy that Derek Chauvin was found guilty, but I don't think that black people think it's justice. I think at least I don't. And so I can't speak for all black people, but I would say that it is accountability.
So it's interesting you say that because most of the white people that I saw that were really like pounding the like, oh, justice, like that whole fucking perspective on it.
Right.
Were like the ones who I feel like have gotten to the party recently. Like
yeah, that
I
feels think right.
Anyone right. that's kind of been new. As I like to say, I don't think it was really banging that drum too much.
Yeah. And so like, and I get it, you know, you're experiencing what it's like. Ironically, Michael Che has this new show called That Damn Michael Che on HBO Max, which people should watch. It's quite funny. And his first episode is about policing and there's a skit where he gets trapped in an elevator with this white woman. And she's like, I'm really sorry about everything that's going on. He's like, what? Okay. Like, all right. And they start having this like conversation. Like she's like this liberal white woman and she, you know, she's like a good meaning white person, right? Like that's the point. And he's just like, look, I get it. Like you feel the way that you feel about this and you got your Black Lives Matter pin and you're all in and you've got an all cops are bastards pin on your bag. And he's like, I get why you feel the way that you do. He's like, you've really just experienced this for like the last 4 to 5 years, like really heavy. She's like, how are you not upset about this? He's like, it's not that I'm not upset. It's just that like, we're born into this shit. Like we've been doing it our whole lives. So I just thought it was such a salient point. So like, yeah, it's great that Chauvin was found guilty. Of course he's appealing. Anyway, so hold on to your butts, for that bullshit.
I mean, everybody appeals. Like, I'm not too concerned about that. So.
Right. Well, the question is, does he get off or not? Right. Like, we're not done yet. I'd like to think no, but it's America.
Yeah.
So I don't begrudge white people, good natured white people, for feeling like this is a victory. But know that, like, your black friends probably don't feel like it's necessarily a victory as much as it's like, finally, mm-hmm. like it's hard to feel victorious when an innocent, like, because I know some people, well, he was on drugs or whatever. That's not what I mean by innocent. Like, he didn't need to die, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he could have been arrested, you know.
Not even. So, he would have been like, I was listening to Stay Tuned, where Pete Brara interviewed the prosecutors for the case. And, like, both of them said, and the white prosecutor specifically said, he's like, when I first saw that, he's like, the first thing I thought was, if that would happen to me, and I was in George Floyd's shoes, he's like, that would never happen because they would have gotten me a ticket. Like, that's what normally would have happened.
What, for a counterfeit 20?
Like, yeah.
Yeah, they're not. Yeah, that's true. They're not locking you up. But I'm saying it's a black dude, right? So they're going to put you overnight, whatever. They're going to, you know, harass and harangue you for 30 days or some shit like that. But at a minimum, that's what, you know, at a maximum, rather, that's what should have happened. Mm-hmm. But I get it. Like, I'm not mad at good-natured white people who, you know, feel like we got one. Like, finally, like, some level of progress. And it is progress. But it's not progress for justice. It's progress for accountability, mm-hmm. right? Like, things, you know, as harsh as it sounds, but, like, it's reality in America, cops are going to not all of a sudden not kill minorities. Like, that's just not going to happen. Like, I wish it did, but it's just not going to happen. The problem is, not only should that not happen, but if it does happen, there should be accountability. And up until Derek Chauvin, there really hasn't been.
Right.
Right? Like you're just killing black people on video, dude. You're killing a black dude slowly running away from you because you pulled him over and because he's got some warrants about, like, you know, not paying child alimony, and you just shoot the guy in the back? Like, that happened. And that cop didn't go to jail. Like, well, he ran. Okay, like, you cool. got his so he, car, so, yeah, dude.
He was running away from you, so you're telling me that your life wasn't in imminent right. danger. He was running away.
Right. You chased that guy and then shot him. Like, come on, man. I mean, whatever happened to the, like, run and be like, hey, fire one in the air and be like, oh, shit. Like, do that. Don't just hit the guy in the back. Like, what the fuck, man? So, you know, that happened. And that cop did not go to prison. And he should have, right? So there's been no accountability. And so we have suffered and seen black people be killed numerous times. Not even in my lifetime. In the last 5 years, it has been crazy how many cases there have been.
Like,
so,
think of how many high-profile cases – there
right,
been.
Let alone and all let alone, of the other ones.
Like, all the ones that you don't hear about because they're
right.
more run-of-the-mill or there's less, like, overt, like, what the fuck
evidence
about them. Right.
Or there's just, like, he said, she said kind of stuff, and then yeah. they're just like, he had a gun. Like, you know, they just make shit up, right? Like, shit like that happens all the time. So, and by the way, that I'm just talking about black folks. I'm not talking about the absolute rise of mental, you know, folks with mental illness being killed by police, because that's a thing. Native Americans, spoiler alert, talk to people in Seattle and ask them how many shootings of Native Americans there's been. There's a lot. Like, that's a real thing. So, and by the way, white people too, right? Like, poor white people just being, you know, wrong place, wrong time type of shit, right? You know, maybe they're on drugs, maybe they're not, maybe they're just poor and cops don't give a fuck. Right. Because they just, you know, like, who are you? You got no power. Right. So for me, again, I think it's a step in the right direction of accountability. But it isn't justice. It isn't justice. Justice would have been George Floyd being able to go home to his family. That's mm-hmm. justice. I mean, I think Chauvin will end up in jail and in jail for a long time. But he's going to fight it to the tooth and nail. I mean, how much accountability did that white woman serve for murdering that black dude in his house?
Right.
In his house. Like, she appealed that case. She appealed that fucking case. They gave her like some slap on the wrist bullshit, and she appealed that shit after his brother and father like hugged her and all that other shit, which don't get me started on the fucking bullshit of that. Like, I'm not a Christian, so like I know where that shit comes from. I'm built different. Like, I'm like the
you're built to hold a grudge against for things that are grudge-worthy.
Dude, are you kidding? I'd be like, yeah, I want to give you a hug. Come here a second. Like, you're choking me. I know. Shut up. No, dude. No. You kill my brother. I forgive you. Look, Mike and I already have an agreement. We ever end up in a courtroom, if something happened to somebody in my family, and that person, I'm sitting across from that person, his job is to physically block the bailiff so I can get to them. That's it. And it goes vice versa. That is the goal. If I'm at a courthouse and Mike is there, know that that is a plan. Like, get out of my way. This block, I need, give me 20 seconds. That's all I need. 20 seconds. They ain't going to be in handcuffs. It's going to be a problem for them. So, yeah. I'm not kidding. Very serious. But, yeah, so that's just my thought on the Derek Chauvin thing. So, yeah, I mean, that guy, I mean, people are like, oh, yo, he can go to Gen Pop. Nah, yo. You could put his ass in solitary confinement for the rest of his life. Let him go insane. I don't give a fuck. Good. 23 hours a day, you can sit in a box. No. Put him in Gen Pop, he'd be dead in a week. That ain't enough suffering for me. You took someone's life. Let them take your life as you sit through it from you. Like, nah. Killing him is instantaneous. He suffered for maybe an hour in the ER or something. Nah, fuck that. Sit in a box. Sit in the box and realize that you ruined your life because you're a piece of shit. Good. And let them treat you like a common dirtbag that you are. Fuck it. I think it's great. Can I come visit? You still in there? Good. Fuck you. Bye. Like, good. That's where he should live for the rest of his fucking life. He probably won't. But who are we kidding? But that's okay because the federal government's coming too. Because yeah, Merrick Garland is trying to prove a point. You should have put me on the Supreme Court, you assholes. Now you're going to pay for it. So, good. All right, let's talk about the GOP being an actual cult. Like, this is a cult, right? Like,
this is most clearly a cult at this point. Because I want to be very clear. And this point was made, I don't remember where it was made, but I'm taking this from a podcast of some kind. But nothing Liz Cheney is saying is any different than anything that Kevin McCarthy said in the aftermath of the January 6th insurrection at the Capitol.
Disagree.
The problem is that she continues to say it.
Disagree. I disagree. Yeah. She's a woman.
That's true.
There it is.
But it still doesn't change what was being said is the same.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It's 100%. Accurate. Like, you're 100% accurate, but she's a woman. And because they don't ultimately respect Liz Cheney, they don't. Like, let's get real. Oh, we like Liz Cheney. No, you don't. If she opens her mouth to say some shit about the God Emperor Donald Trump, it's a wrap. It's a wrap. It's a wrap. I find it really wild that Liz Cheney, one of the most ardent conservatives in all of Congress,
right,
is being turfed out because she's just being honest. Like, yo, she's not even saying anything that wild. Like, Donald Trump is not telling the truth about the election. You gotta get out of here, Liz.
Right.
Like, they're trying to take her out of leadership. She's one of two women in Republican leadership, of course. They're trying to take her out of leadership. But then they're also trying to go further and get her fucking bounced out of Congress altogether. How do they think this is going to work?
Here's the other thing that's crazy to me. And again, saw this somewhere else, but I thought it was a salient point. How long was Steve King a member of Congress?
Like, right.
How many terms did he serve before they finally removed him from committees? Right. And then he had to get primaried out. Like that's how he went away. It wasn't actually anything that they did. But they managed to take care of Liz Cheney in, well, I don't know, about 4 months.
Done, son.
It's amazing how nakedly on display their priorities are in cases like this. Matt Gaetz still on committees?
Yo, he is still a fucking pedophile.
Nothing. And again, and not that
he's doing tours. He's doing tours right now.
Not that he's been convicted or charged with anything yet. But there's a lot more evidence that Matt Gaetz is a pedophile than there is of the like infinity more evidence of the 2020 election being rigged, which is something that Republicans continue to spout off as
yeah. I don't know. Did you guys talk about? I don't remember. Did you guys talk about the details of? Like, oh, we didn't know she was 17 shit with Gaetz.
We might have briefly gone over it.
Okay, I feel like
we talked about it a little bit last week, but
In case we didn't actually end up covering this, I'd like to just point this out because I found that part of the article from the Daily Beast to be wild. So Greenberg, his homeboy, pedophile in arms, was like, oh shit. We're banging this chick for cash. We didn't know she was 17, bro. Like, that's crazy. And Matt Gaetz is like, oh no, I didn't know. And like they legitimately, it sounds like they legitimately didn't know, right? That's fair, right? I can't, if you didn't know, one, you might probably, like, you just like fucking chicks on the side, bro, who look super young, get an ID at least. Do the rapper thing, right? You have them take a picture, hold up the ID and shit, like, in case shit happens, this is the ID she had, like, officer, you know? But, so they didn't, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. I truly am. They didn't know that she was 17, right? Like, the difference between somebody who's 17 and 18, like, the look, I mean, who the fuck knows, right? One, gross, you're fucking an 18-year-old. What's wrong with you anyway? But, okay, they didn't know. They thought she was 18 or whatever. The problem is, and this is where they get zero credit, they knew she was 17 and they were like, nah, we can't fuck with you right now, but let us know when you hit 18 and then it's back on. And then that's like legitimately what they did. When her birthday came, they were like, woo, woo, let's fucking party. You're 18 now. That's not a good sign, man. Like that kills any level of credibility you had. Well, you could just be like, oh, I didn't know. I'm out. Like, I just didn't know. Where people would be like, all right, like, this is not cool. Mm-hmm. But the guy didn't know. Like, the guy didn't know. But you can't be like, you can't have the Mary-Kate and Ashley countdown shit going on and then didn't be like, no, we're good dudes. No, man. No. Like, that part of the article, I literally burst out laughing when I read that. I was like, who the fuck are these guys?
Right. But meanwhile,
come on.
This dude who, in a sane political world, no one would have ever and would never hear of Matt Gaetz. This guy is
no, not in the same world. Absolutely,
this guy is bringing, like, just legislatively, this dude is bringing nothing to the table, nothing at all. The only reason you know who Matt Gaetz is because he fucking goes hard in the paint for Donald Trump. That's it. That's the only reason that you know why.
Yeah, and he definitely wants to fuck Tiffany Trump because he tweets a lot of things about her, which is kind of gross. Like, dude, I know you want to change it. He want to change his name to Trump so bad. Oh, he wants to be Matt Trump so bad.
I'm surprised he would want to. She seems too old for him.
Ooh. I mean, he might have had the countdown clock going.
Maybe. but this is that's a guy gross. That the current GOP would rather be like a face of their party instead of a literal Cheney, like not a figurative Cheney, like literally someone like, whose last name is Cheney,
like one of the stalwarts of conservatism.
Yes.
I like there's part of me that think, OK, so I'm of two minds. Mm-hmm. There's part of me that thinks, well, they're going to turf her out and it's going to be a wrap, right? For Liz Cheney, her career is going to be fucking done, right? She'll go on Fox or, you know, she'll probably go on MSNBC to really fuck with Republicans and just like shit on Kevin McCarthy and call the Republican Party a cult.
The Steele and Cheney like view from the right on MSNBC.
Right. Right. You know what? Fuck it. Give her a show. Give her a show. Put her and Michael Steele, a fucking show. I'd watch the shit out of it. Like, I would watch the shit out of it just to see what kind of crazy shit they come up with. But I'd listen to that podcast. I'm not going to lie. But I feel like that's – it's either that or Dick Cheney, Liz Cheney, like the fucking hard, like hard neocons are going to figure out a way to get these guys back. Like they don't have Trump anymore, right? Where the neocons had a lot less power because Trump just controlled everything through his like asshole racist charisma that we coined on TNP with Mark Wahlberg. He has that, right? But I'm waiting for the neocons to stop letting like stop playing patty cakes with this guy and his constituency.
But the problem is though is that you say he's not there. And he's not there,
but he is
public
there.
Mind. But he is there, like.
Oh, he reigns.
Yeah,
he huge over this party.
He never left. Like Fox will still talk to him, literally any chance they get. Like all of the people that are like most front and center in the Republican Party are all Trump sycophants that still push the same bullshit that he did. That still talk about him as much as they possibly can, invoke him whenever they get a chance. So he hasn't like though he's not in the public consciousness anymore, he still hasn't gone anywhere.
We're putting a lot on the shoulders of a 74-year-old man.
I mean, we put a lot on the shoulders of a 78-year-old man. So I can't. We can't talk. But
I mean, that's true. But yeah. Like. Joe Biden like rides bikes and shit. Eats right, a salad does. From rides, like time to bikes, time.
He drives Camaros. He has 20 pairs of aviators. Like yeah, like he's a lot more. He's a lot more put together than old Big Macosaurus over there down in Mar-a-Lago.
I'm just wondering. I'm truly just wondering. Is he going to survive? Is he going to survive 4 years? 4 years? He's going to be 78. That dude's a kook madook now. Like, he's going to come in at 78 and run for president.
I really come hope on. That we just like the best thing for the GOP, in all honesty, is if that dude fucking died on a toilet. 100%.
No, 100%. You could just move on. You just move on. I don't see how he's not just a lunatic at 78.
I mean, he's a lunatic at 74 now.
That's what I'm saying. He's gonna be
more of a lunatic at
78. Like, what is he gonna be like in those primaries? Holy shit, are you serious? Like, but that's a question.
Yeah.
Are people gonna run against him?
Yes.
Like you got your Larry Hogans.
Some normal people will. Like you'll have your Larry Hogans. You might get your like maybe Justin Amash or someone like that gets a wild hair in his ass and fucking tries to run. Maybe Liz Cheney if she gets turfed out of the party or she gets primaried.
I like that in
2022.
Maybe
she decides to run for president and take it back herself.
You know what? I think she could make a real run for it. Like to be honest, like there's got to be people in the Republican Party after this 4 years who are going to go, what the fuck are we doing?
There are definitely people in the Republican Party that are saying that right now. The problem is that they're too afraid to say it because then what will happen to Liz Cheney will undoubtedly happen to them. Right?
But I'm saying as far as constituents, like there's got to be – I don't – like the power of Trump is seeing and hearing him. That's his true power, right? Like Republicans in Congress are confronted because of like bills and shit like that. And, you know, and he's like, I'll fucking say your opponent's name and get you primaried, right? Mm-hmm. But on average, like an average person who's a Republican, he only holds sway over them, like mentally sway over them because they see him and they hear him, right? Like the fact that this dude doesn't have a YouTube channel where he's just spouting shit off every day is like, a detriment to his own logic. Like, that's what I would have. Like, it'd be the biggest channel on fucking YouTube.
But he's also lazy. Like, that's
yeah, he's super lazy.
You never forget that he's like hyper lazy. So he's not going to have to, like, he could easily be making money hand over fist with in media if he wanted to. Like, if he wanted to start his own TV channel, or if he wanted to, like you said, just use the existing things that happen right now, you could be a fucking you could probably do better with that than you do with fucking real estate. And in all honesty,
dude, Donald Trump's Patreon, how much is that going
to
make?
Right, like, but he's lazy.
Right,
like he doesn't have the wherewithal to do it. And the other thing is too, with a reasonable Republican, you do have a lot of center leaning Democrats.
Yeah, that you can pull.
who are legitimately nervous about how progressive and how quickly progressive the Democratic Party is getting, that would absolutely cling to a lifeline like that.
I'm just saying, like
a reasonable conservative.
I'm just saying, like, a Liz Cheney run might not be the worst thing the Republican Party ever did. Like, it just wouldn't be.
Not for their preservation. It
wouldn't be. Look, here's the thing. I don't want her to win. Fuck that. She's a crazy person. Like, when it comes to, like, general regular human politics, not this fucking nutbag conspiracy theory nonsense. No, she would be horrible. However, I still think Liz Cheney would be a better president than Donald Trump was. By far. By far. Like, I mean, she would just – it would go back to normal. She would just have an iron fist foreign policy, like, we need to destroy everyone who gets in our way. But I wonder go back to norms.
I wonder legitimately how many people in politics that we're aware of right now, not like celebrities that come in from outside or anything like that, but just people like regular politicians that we know. Is there 10 people that would make a worse president than Donald Trump?
Look, let's just name three. In Congress or just politicians all over the country?
In politics, period.
A worse Republican. Louie Gohmert would make a worse president.
Okay, Louie Gohmert is one.
100%. I mean, easy. Yeah, worse Republican.
Would make a worse president. Would make a worse
excuse
president.
Me, worse president.
Yeah,
I think, and this may seem extreme, I think Ted Cruz might be worse.
I don't think he'd be a worse president.
I don't know, man.
I don't think he would. I'll give you another one. And this one's scary because it could actually fucking happen. Is Ron DeSantis. I think.
No, 100%. You're 100% correct. He's an idiot. That guy's an idiot. Remember when he couldn't put his mask on? Like, that guy's an idiot. Yo, that guy's an idiot. Like, no.
So that's two. I'm really struggling to think of a third.
Nope, I got you. Yeah, I got you. You're welcome. Rick Perry, worst president.
Would he be worse than Donald?
Yes. Trump? Yes, dude. Yes. Yes, he would be, Joe. That dude is he got a C in meats, Brad. In meats. C+ in meats. Get out of here. No, I think – because I think that guy is just completely empty-headed. He doesn't have the charisma either, right? Like, he would fracture the party where people are just like, what the fuck are you doing? And he would suck, well, like, from a policy perspective.
I think that's DeSantis' problem, too, is that he, like, as much as he likes to play like he has the charisma of Donald Trump, he absolutely does not.
No.
Not even a little bit. And he's an idiot.
That dude, look, people are talking about if Trump runs, Ron DeSantis is on the shortlist for VP. That's a wild move. That's a wild move, dude. That is a wild move. You know what? You go ahead. You go ahead.
That was the thing is if they pull that move, that would be wild, because Mike Pence was the lifeline that a lot of regular ass Republicans clung to.
That's what I'm saying.
To make that vote. They're like, well, at least this guy is there. You don't want two Donald Trumps on the ticket.
No, dude. Like, come on, guys. Come on. That's crazy. Yeah, Ron DeSantis. What if he picked Pence again?
He would. Like, there's no way.
No, of course not. His people want to murder Pence.
Yeah.
So Joni Ernst actually stood up for Liz Cheney, right? She's just like, maybe we shouldn't do this whole cancel culture thing, which Joni Ernst, that's not what cancel culture is. I need white conservatives to stop thinking that kicking someone out of a job is cancel culture.
It is their definition of cancel culture.
Yeah. It's wrong.
It's what they think canceling is.
Yeah. So, the only cancel culture Republicans should even try to understand is like canceling a subscription to Netflix. Like, just stop it. Like, you guys just miss the ball on basic shit all the time. But yeah, like the only other woman in Republican Senate leadership, mm-hmm. Joni Ernst, is standing up for Liz Cheney. Look, spoiler alert. Hey, they don't respect your ass either, Joni Ernst. They don't. No. They don't. You know why you're the lone woman in Republican Senate leadership? Because they don't give a fuck about women. They don't. I don't understand minorities or women being in the Republican Party and think they're being respected. You're fucking not. You're there as a token.
You guys had
Tim Scott?
Like I said, that whole episode that you guys did on Tim Scott on Black on Black Cinema was a very interesting conversation, to say the least.
Yeah, the guy sucks. Yeah. He sucks. But he's in a cult, and he's getting big ups from Mitch McConnell. He's the future of the Republican Party. A black dude? Get out of here. No, he isn't. You just like hearing a black person parrot the shit that you say.
Yeah.
That's all it is. That's why Candace Owens gets the money that she gets. Do you know how much money I could make if I suddenly went online and got I would rocket to popularity if I said all the rancid shit that Republicans say about black people. Yeah. Oh, how do we pay this guy? Like, yeah. Yeah, you want to look forward to blow up? Yeah. We call it look back. Look back with Black Republican Jay. Are you fucking kidding me? Maybe I could get paid that way. No, I couldn't keep up the lie. Like my brain, I couldn't keep that lie going in my brain. I would go crazy. But like, that's why they make the money they make. That's why they do what they do. Right. Like look, Tim Scott may actually believe this shit. People like Candace Owens don't believe it.
Right.
Like that's why I hate her as much as I do, because there's no possible way that she believes it, considering that her entire life, like the reason why we know who Candace Owens is because she was treated shittily by a white racist at a college who happened to be like the dean's son, and mm-hmm. she was harassed, and the ACLU and black people came to her fucking aid and sued that college, and she got paid for it. Mm-hmm. And then she was like, yeah, I'm a liberal. And then that money started drying up, and she was like, switch 180. I'm conservative to get money. Yeah. I mean, it's obvious. So,
it's funny. So going back to Joni Ernst, it's funny that you say she's speaking out for Liz Cheney. She's really not. Like it's not like she's taking some full-throated defense of
Liz it's
Cheney.
Not.
Like, it's the same mealy-mouthed bullshit that she is kind of towing the line on so that she doesn't get the same, you know, backlash coming back around on her.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
Yeah, so it's not like she's, you know, it's not like she's standing up on the Senate steps like, is it bullshit what's happening to Liz Cheney? Like, you know, she's being silenced because she disagrees. Like, this is not the party that we are, blah, 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 blah. No, she's just kind of just giving, you know, a little half-hearted, well, you know, it's you should express how you feel. But, you know, it's cancel culture no matter how you look at it. And she's kind of, it's unfortunate, but they're trying to silence her. I'm just like, go back to your fucking cornfield, Joni Ernst.
I just like to point out in this article, one, I agree with you. But I would just like to point out this article. It even says, at one point, it says, on Monday, the trainer of the horse that won the Kentucky Derby.
Bob Baffert went on.
Yeah, he claimed to be a victim of cancel culture as well.
Because he roided his horse up.
Why am I being subjected to cancel culture? That's not cancel culture. You cheated. You cheated. They're the Barry Bonds of horses. Shut up.
It is a term that means nothing anymore. It means nothing because it's been so beaten into the ground.
Yep, they destroyed it.
Some alternate definition that it doesn't mean anything anymore.
Don't call me out for my cheating. That's cancel culture. Okay. there's some husband or wife right now being yelled at by his spouse, his or her spouse, for cheating. He's like, you're just using cancel culture because you caught me with three hookers. That's cancel culture.
Don't cancel me.
Don't cancel me. How dare you?
I'm divorcing you. Like, it's like, completely different.
No, this is divorce culture, no, man.
This is being canceled. You're canceling me.
You're canceling our marriage. It's not fair. Like, shut up. Tied to this Liz Cheney story, because, you know, she's saying, like, hey, Donald Trump is, you know, like a piece of shit, and, you know, he's lying about all this stuff. I tied this other story to it. Which is judge orders release of secret DOJ memo used to clear Trump of obstruction of justice. The reason why I tie these stories together is because, like, yeah, Liz Cheney is talking about the lies that Donald Trump is telling, and she's calling him out and stuff. But, like, never forget that the underlying part of this is they're kicking her out because she is making a point that are being proven in courts, right? Like, and so it's like, shut the fuck up, Liz. It's not just she's saying it, right? Like, it's that it's reminding people of, like, these other stories that are coming out, right? Like, this judge is saying, like, look, William Barr, when he was attorney general, like, he tried to clear Trump of obstruction of justice. Like, that's bullshit. Like, these are lies that these guys told. And she's pointing out that these guys are lying. So, like, never forget that, yes, she's talking smack on Trump, but that's not all it is. It's because you can easily tie what she's saying to actual facts and, like, actual court cases that are being determined. So, yeah, I just found that to be interesting. So, yeah, look, shout out to Liz Cheney. At least she's being – like, look, I don't agree with her, like, on anything. But at least she's morally sound enough to go – yeah, dude, Biden won the election. Like, why are we lying about this?
Like I said, it's shedding the past couple of years have really shed a light on, like, the true believers, like the true stalwarts of conservatism, and the people who are just in it for the power. And sad to say, like, the people who are, like, true blue conservative thinkers, there's really not a lot of them out there.
No, there isn't.
Like I can think of Mitt Romney, Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, Justin Amash.
That's next. Next. Like, there's not. The rest of them are sycophants.
Yeah.
And it's what that tells you is that you can name, because you can name the amount of people who are true blue or true red conservatives.
Right.
On basically one hand.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? I'll give you one more, in all honesty. Mitch McConnell, because everything he does is a cynical power grab, but we know enough from him to know that he's not buying into that fucking bullshit.
Oh no. That dude is a conservative. Like, yes. He's just like, cause that's why he would go to war with Trump. Like,
right.
Look, I'll be here after you leave. Right. You know, that was basically his attitude. He's right. You know, he was.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's very few. And what's interesting about that, because you can name them basically on one hand, mm-hmm. what that tells you is they are a party of they're just an opposition party. They don't have any ideas. They don't have any policies. They don't have anything. Their policies are all, what are the Democrats doing? Doing the opposite of that. That's it.
And as frustrating as it is to have your Joe's Mansion and your Kirsten's cinema in the Democratic Party and people like them, like, and you can go down the list. There's, you know, Chris Coons and what's the woman in New Hampshire whose name I can never remember, but it's
on the Republican side.
No, Democratic senator. I can never remember her name though. It's driving me nuts. But she's a senator in New Hampshire.
Sorry,
blank. But it's as frustrating as it is to have those people kind of standing partially in the way of progressivism. It just, that goes to show you that there's actually people in the Democratic Party, first of all, is the true Big Ten party that has a diverse spectrum of thought tied to it. But also, they're people that have actual convictions and have actual beliefs and things and have actual policy things that they want to see get done and they're not just willing to blow with the tide. It's like, it's not like Joe Manchin is all of a sudden, you know, banging the drum for $15 minimum wage and, you know, spending, you know, gajillion dollars on infrastructure and expanding the ACA just because Biden is president. Like, no. Joe Manchin's like, no, I'm going to live in my fucking houseboat and.
Yeah. Tugboat.
Be an asshole about everything. And yeah. I want to hit Joe Manchin. But I appreciate that Joe Manchin exists and that Joe Manchin is doing his thing.
I mean, the thing is, Joe Manchin doesn't believe in anything. Like, he doesn't. Like, like, his entire viewpoint to me is, how do I make this about me? Like, you know what I mean? Like Kyrsten Sinema doesn't really – like, Kyrsten Sinema wants to use it as a power grab. Like, they both do. So they like, hey, things are narrow. This is how I could, like, make it about me. But it's like – but you could make it about you and, like, get shit done, though.
Right.
You know, like, it's weird. Because you could say, it's me, Joe Manchin. I'm not moving on this. And then just like go to Biden and be like, look, these are things that I want. And they're going to give it to you. Like, yo, use your power to make fucking West Virginia the most baller state one's going to.
That's the part of the equation that I can't understand. Like I can't believe that you're so dedicated to bipartisanship that you're not willing to get yours.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't believe it. I think they're like weirdly nihilist in a way. It's just like just talk about me. I just want you to talk about me. Fuck you. Do something for your state. Like, because look, people would be pissed at Kyrsten Sinema or Joe Manchin, but the people of West Virginia and Arizona wouldn't be. They'd be like, yo, this fucking new bridge is lit. You know, like they would just be like, yeah, they get shit done. That's why people in Arizona fucking put John McCain back in office 1.5 billion times. Yeah, you know, yeah, he voted with the Republican Party, you know, the vast majority of times. But he would go against his own party, but then he would get like a little extra for Arizona. So people were just like, oh fuck, he getting a little extra for Arizona. So I don't give a fuck. He voted with the Democrats on that. What did I get? Right? Like, you see the things that he's done. So,
well, and at the end of the day,
yeah,
it's
people
funny,
don't give a fuck.
We truly have lost what the point of the House and Senate is supposed to be. Like, people forget that. Like, the kind of the whole concept behind the thing is you are there to represent your state. And it's not really a Democrat-Republican thing. It's more of a, hey, what benefits my state kind of thing? And how does this work for me? Not to say that you don't have convictions and that you don't lay on one side of the fence or the other and you're not going to go a certain way. But when they used to negotiate bills in Congress, especially in the Senate, the negotiation wasn't like, oh, we are going to stand behind this, or oh, we are going to obstruct this. It's like, hold on a second, like, I see what you're doing here, and that's cool. I don't like this part of it, but if you give me some of this, then maybe we can find a compromise
right
in the middle. Like that's kind of the whole fucking point
right
of the system.
How do you grease the wheels for my state?
Yeah.
And honestly, if we're being really real, the infrastructure bill should be it should be greasing the wheels of every state. That's what it should be. Infrastructure should be easy, right? It should be, what's the most amount of money we want to spend, right? Like Joe Biden comes out, he's like, boom, I got $2 trillion. That's what we're going to spend. And then every Republican and Democrat is like, but I need an extra million over here. I need $2 million over here. Like, yeah. And you figure it out. And Joe Biden goes, well, I can't give you $10 million, but I can give you like six, right? For your bridge or your whatever. Let's keep it all infrastructure. Let's make this shit super work. But I might not be able to hit your top number, but I might be able to get you 50% there, right? Where your state kicks in the other 50%. You ain't have nothing yesterday, right? That's what it's supposed to be. Right. But Republicans are just like, no. And Democrats are like, yes. That's not how it works. You're supposed to try to like weirdly, pork is the way to actually like grease the wheels of politics to get shit moving, right? We want to do police reform. Cool. And I'm like, I guess I'm cool with police reform. You know, if I'm like, you know, general senator here, like, I guess I'm cool with police reform. But in my state, here's what I need you to do so that I will sign on to that. That's all it is, man. That's how you get some weird shit like, you know, extra, you know, electricity grid upgrades for Maryland in a police reform. Bill, you're like, why the fuck is this here? Because they needed the senator from Maryland to fucking vote for it. What happened to that? So when people go, we got to get pork out of there. No, sometimes you need more pork. You just got to put barriers on what the pork can be. Like, come on, guys. It's got to be like within reason, right? You know, but like if you do that, it does actually grease the wheels of getting things done. That's why it exists.
And again, none of this helps when you have a party, as we've said many, many, many times, whose literal policy platform is just white grievance and whatever Donald Trump wants. Like, that's, again, their official policy platform of the Republican Party is, whatever that guy wants to do, we're behind him, 100%.
We don't even need to write it down. Don't even write it
down.
Yeah. Don't even write it down. Like, fuck it. So, yeah. So, good luck, Liz. You think she's going to stick around? You think she's going to make it through the next election?
So if she does, did the vote happen or is it happening? It's happening tomorrow, isn't it?
I think so.
If I'm not mistaken. Does she leave on her own? So I think regardless of whether she decides to leave or not, she might get primaried out. I don't know how insane
Damn.
The people in Wyoming are. But that's always a possibility because, again, the GOP is fucking the Trump party now, essentially.
Yeah.
So I think that's something to be scared of. It depends what she wants to do. Like I said, I think it would be a baller move, especially if Trump is running, to fucking stand up against him. And maybe you'll get knocked down, but maybe you won't.
Here's the thing. I think she could make a real run. I think she could. I don't know if she could beat him. And, like, again, this dude's going to be 78, and he's going to be cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, yo. He's going to be crazy. By the way, I don't even believe he's going to run. I don't.
Well, I don't either. I think
it's bullshit.
I think he's going to milk the grift for as much as he possibly fucking can.
Yep.
But, no.
So, if I got turfed out of the Congress, I'd be like, I'll see you in 3 years, motherfucker. Like, or 3.5 years or whatever. I'd be like, bet. And I would say right then, I'm going to run against Donald Trump. Fuck him. Don't even hide the shit. Fuck it. Come out guns blazing, dude. And look, guess what? You think Liz Cheney can't get Dick Cheney, George W. Bush? You don't think they can get like all of the like neocon hardcore conservatives that, you know, like them or hate them, are real conservatives? You don't think you can get them to endorse her? Of course. Of course you can. Of course you can. Dick Cheney up there, like, you know, he's got the fucking Darth Vader mask. He just like lifts it up. You know, I endorse my daughter. She's a real piece of garbage, but you know, whatever. So am I. Yeah. No, I think he could. I think good. Or just get Christian Bale to do it. Fuck it. Whatever. That was a pretty good impression.
Don't even tell us it's Christian Bale. Just have.
Look, I bet he could probably fool a couple of people. They'd be like, damn, Cheney's looking pretty good. Like, not bad. Not bad. What is he, 105? With no heart? Yeah, so, yeah, good luck to you. I think she's going to definitely get kicked out of leadership. I think that's...
I mean, and, well, especially because they're doing a closed vote. Come on.
Oh.
Get the fuck out of here. It's one thing if you're...
You could have people who don't speak up in favor of her and was like, I agree with her.
That's true. Isn't that what happened, there were some that they had a closed vote that didn't pass because they could vote in secret.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it was.
Like, they probably shouldn't have voted in secret, actually.
Yeah.
Because if you vote open, then people are like, you're not going to put my name on this shit.
Maybe that's the brilliant Kevin McCarthy out then. So he can still save face, but doesn't actually want Liz Cheney to go anywhere. I don't know.
It could be. I mean, Kevin McCarthy's not an idiot. Like, he's not an idiot. He's not a Ron DeSantis.
No, he's not. Well, no, I mean, no one is, truly, but he's pretty stupid.
He's pretty stupid.
Like, of all the people that you can think of, like, in your lifetime, that have led the Republican Party.
Oh, I mean, he's one of the worst.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's...
Can you think of anyone just off the cuff stupider than him?
Not that has led the party, no.
No.
No,
like Newt Gingrich is a fucking obnoxious blowhard, but he's not an idiot.
No, he's actually rather smart. He's a piece of shit, but he's actually smart. I hate to admit it.
Paul Ryan, you know, is a punching bag to make fun of, but again, not a moron.
Remember they set up Paul Ryan to debate Joe Biden.
I did.
They were like, Paul Ryan's gonna rip Joe Biden's head off. No, he didn't.
Like, okay.
Oh, man. That was one of my favorite moments of all time. Republicans were like, yes, here we go, baby. Paul Ryan. Nah, yo. Joe Biden was just like, here are the facts. Like, you had all that bullshit. Here are the facts. And people were just like, you right. You got it.
Well, they were excited. Like, they thought they had their Obama, basically. They're like, oh, look, we got young white Paul Ryan. Like, he's going to come up there.
Everybody likes Paul Ryan. He's cool. He lifts weights.
That's right. He listens to Rage Against the Machine.
Doesn't realize that he's the machine.
That's right.
I love that they were like, stop listening to our music, you fucking asshole. Huh? Like, who are you raging against? Your mom? Get out of here. All right. So you put this, I assume you added this to the docket. This is fucking great.
I did. So what I want. For the next, you know, at least the next 3.5 years, is every time a reporter asks Joe Manchin or Kyrsten Sinema or whoever about blowing up the filibuster, And Joe Manchin replies that he wants to work with Republicans because bipartisanship is important. I want that reporter to have the clip of Mitch McConnell loaded on their phone, ready to go, that you can play in Joe Manchin's face, where Mitch McConnell says, quote, I am 100% focused on stopping the President Joe Biden's administration.
Yeah, from turning the country into a socialist, turning right. America into a socialist country. That's 100% my focus.
Yeah.
Cool.
Again, that doesn't leave a whole lot of wiggle room for interpretation of bipartisanship.
I mean, he didn't say 110%. I mean,
that's true.
He's not a football coach.
That's true. But yeah, like it's I need that played in his face every single time. And then the reporter to be like, so are you really sure that you can find 10 Republicans to work with? Or do you think maybe that, you know, blowing up the filibuster is a good idea just so we can get anything done while you guys are here?
I mean, again, if you just blow up the filibuster, yo, you will walk into reelection like a fucking boss. You might pick up seats.
Don't even worry about running for reelection. Just be one of the most important consequential figures in American political in modern American political history.
I mean, you're not wrong
about that. And walk into the sunset. Seriously.
No, but here's the thing. These guys are all about self-preservation. But my thing is, if you just blow up the filibuster, you could get shit done. You could get shit done where people would be like, finally, why are you standing on the cusp of actual progress and refusing to take the lead?
Here's the dirty secret. And this is not a, this is just as bad as on the Democratic side as Republicans. Politicians are afraid to do stuff.
Yep.
You're 100% right. Something that you can be held, that can be held against you, or you can be held accountable to.
That's right.
Later on. So I think a lot of that's a guiding force for sure with a lot of these folks. They're worried about what they're going to get tied to and how that'll, like you said, it's all about self-preservation.
I just wish they would actually have the wherewithal to just say, throw fucking caution to the wind, man. Like, you ain't going to be here. Like, I'm here for a good time, not a long time. Like, you know what I mean?
And here's the other problem with press, though, is that he never truly gets pressed. Like, the question needs to be asked, again, who are the 10 Republicans that you can work with on this legislation? Like, name them. Identify who they are, because right now, because I'm not, I ain't seeing it.
They don't exist.
Right. Cause they ain't there.
Yeah.
Like, you can name maybe three.
And right. And it's three, like it's the standard, you know, Lisa Murkowski, you know, like it's the standard three, but they're like, Republicans don't even fuck with them like that. You know what I mean? Like, right. They're like, when push comes to shove, they're going to be on the Republican side to fuck Democrats at the end, right? Lisa Murkowski is the only one that you can go, if it is a logical, reasonable thing, you can move her and she will stick to it. What's her face in
Susan Collins?
Susan Collins? Yeah. Fuck her, dude. No, she's not a reliable person at all. At all. At all. So, yeah, I don't I'm not really buying the entire idea of, like, we can work together. Like, I don't understand what Joe Biden is even waiting on infrastructure. They already said they're not budging. 100% zero.
I think,
like, 100% they will give up 100% of nothing. Of nothing. They, like, nothing they're planning on giving up to vote for this. Fuck them. Move on.
I think for Joe Biden, it's important to at least look like you're trying.
Right. I get that.
I think from his standpoint, that makes more sense. I kind of even get it from Joe Manchin's standpoint that kind of makes sense. But at the same time, like, it's in your body of Congress, when you have the leader of the opposition party coming out and saying that this is my, and again, to be fair for McConnell, he's just playing the greatest hits. Like, he's just running back the same shit that he said about Obama. You know, about the whole, we're going to, you know, our job is to make him a one-term president.
Right.
But when he's out there doing that shit, it doesn't really give you a credible leg to stand on to sit here and talk about bipartisanship.
No, you don't have a leg at all. You don't have a leg at all. So, no, I would just be like, yeah, that's cool. You said it. I hear you. Like, I'm listening to you, Mitch McConnell. We're going to go do our job. You don't want to do anything? Every time Republicans go on TV and say, no, why aren't they working with us? I'd be like, tape. Play that tape. I sent it to you earlier. Play it. Play it. He doesn't give a shit about doing anything when it comes to fixing this country. Look, Republicans, you want to fix shit? You want to fix roads in your town? Right. I'm not even talking about Democrats or Republicans. Republican, like as far as politicians. Republican voters. You tired of living in your little Midwest town that don't have shit? The stoplight barely works. You don't have high-speed rail so you could go to a big city. You don't have, you know, fast internet, Andy. Like, you don't have any of that shit, right? Stop voting for fucking Republicans, dude. Or out these assholes like Mitch McConnell who keep keeping you down.
But here's the problem, Jay, with those Republicans that live in those rural areas, is that, sure, they want those things that you talk about. But getting them means that, like, black people
will also get them.
And minorities would get raised up as well.
Right. That's why Andy literally refuses to get faster internet because I have fast internet. And he was like, I don't want to have the same internet as a black person, which feels really racist to me. But that's his point.
It does.
I mean, he's an asshole. He's a real jerk. Just saying.
It's a crazy trick that the fucking party has pulled on people to convince them that, like, no, like, it's actually these other things are really bad, and that's why you shouldn't get these things that'll make your life better, because, you know, it'll help these other people too, and fuck them. And you have fucking people that live in, like, a one-room house with a fucking torn screen door. Yeah, fuck those assholes.
I don't one day I'll be rich.
Yeah.
Okay. Probably
now,
let me
eat my cold baked beans out of the can. I don't have fucking electricity because I'm poor shit.
Like, and I'm also upset that I can only donate. What was it? What did I see? You can only donate to Trump. The minimum is $100 now.
The minimum is $100.
Yeah.
Wow.
God damn it. Yo, the grift, Brad.
What's the opposite of grassroots? Like what term can we ascribe to a minimum?
The opposite of astroturfing. Astroturfing. Like, it's literally the literal opposite. I mean, they mean the exact opposite thing. Yeah. $100. And the one dude was mad. Like, he was mad. I was like, you should be mad as to why your guy is trying to bilk you. Like, that's what you should be mad about. Like, he's mad that he can't afford $100. All right. Well, yeah, that's probably liberals' fault, dude. All right. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. I don't know, what we need to do to, like, take a baseball bat to beat it into Joe Manchin's head. But
so, it's funny because, so, like,
I'm not advocating that someone hit Joe Manchin with a baseball bat. Wink. I'm kidding.
Yeah. Ezra Klein interviewed Chuck Schumer, and Chuck Schumer, like, talks about how guys like Manchin, like, behind closed doors aren't necessarily the same, you know, kind of blustery bravado that he is in front of a camera or in front of an interview thing. And I can understand that to an extent, but at the same time, like, you need to show me results if that's going to be the way it is. And in that case, then just tell Joe Manchin to shut up.
Yeah. Can you get off TV with your bullshit? Please. I'm trying to get something done here. Yeah. I'm not interested in like this fake bipartisanship, right? Like, you can want to work together. You can try to work together. And there are Republicans who will work with you on certain things. But when the Republican Party stands up and says, we are not going to work with you at all on this. Cool. Got it. Heard loud and clear. Move on. I mean, like,
the rescue plan.
The rescue plan that happened. Republicans are out there like, you're welcome, America. We did this. And people are like, yeah, this is great. Like, come on, man. Follow the news for 9 seconds. These guys did nothing. They didn't sign anything. That fucking prick, Ted Cowarth or whatever his fucking name is, that asshole is sitting up there in his fucking chair talking about like, yeah, we did all this and brought this back to your to our state. I would be like, I have a question. You didn't fucking sign a bill, you asshole.
Yeah, you didn't vote for it. You voted against it.
Yeah, so why are you taking credit for it?
This happened in spite of you.
Sometimes I really wish I lived in a red state because I would make it my mission to go around every time these fucking pieces of shit had town halls and I'd be like, I have a question. You voted against this. So why are you taking credit for something you didn't do? No, please explain. Please explain. You didn't do anything. You didn't think that this was valuable enough. But now that it's in the state, why are you cool with it now? Will you go on television and admit that it was cool? Because guess what? By the way, this is being videotaped and I'm sending this to Rachel Maddow tonight. No big deal. You know, it's like,
well, it's the same shit that when the jobs report came out last month and it was awesome. Like Republicans were like tripping over themselves to, well, you know, Donald Trump deserves credit for this, like blah, blah, blah. And then like this past month was a shitty jobs report. And they're like, oh, Joe Biden's jobs report is fucking up.
Yeah.
All over the
place. I'm like, all right, if God. Only he had Donald Trump's genius, which only lasted that 1 month, but not that. All right. Yo, they just, it's a cult. Like it's a fucking cult.
Well, and again, like it's one thing. It's shameless of them to do it, but they have people that not only listen but believe what they're saying is true. That's the bigger issue at the end of the day. So, like you have people like I even saw because like the news came around of like Jen Psaki is going to leave the press secretary role either late this year or early next year.
Yeah, and that's a bummer.
And some conservatives on that I know were like, oh, she couldn't handle the pressure. I'm like, fuck are you talking about? I'm like, she's sitting out there fucking bodying Peter Doocy and Newsmax
every goddamn day.
Like, she said up front that she wasn't going to be in the role.
Right. That was a thing that she agreed when she took the job.
Yeah. Like if you bothered looking at reporting or even reading the article past the headline, like, you could actually fucking see what's going on.
Also, that's a hard job and nobody stays that long.
Yeah. That's the other thing, too. Yeah. So how many? I mean, Trump had 3 in 4 years. Four in 4 years.
Yeah. Actually. And they were all bad. They were all bad. Like, no. And I'm not saying it because he's a Republican, because Republicans have definitely had good press secretaries. Yeah. No. His were all bad. Like, Mooch lasted 9 seconds.
Mooch wasn't even press secretary.
No, but he did. Remember, he did a couple of them because he was like the cool, like, hip guy. So they were like, oh, maybe this is the guy.
Stephanie Grisham was press secretary for like 7 months. She never did a single briefing.
Not one. Nope. And then they got fucking Binder Barbie there at the end.
Yeah.
Let's see. No, he says no. Okay. Next question. She fucking sucked. Now she has a job at Fox News, I believe.
Of course
she does. Fucking trash. All right, let's talk about ransomware, Brad.
This is terrifying. So, like, I remember a couple months ago you talked about that Netflix movie that you watched. I can't remember what it was called right the second, but you said about like cyber, like you know, ransomware.
Oh yeah. Oh god, yeah. It was on Hulu. It was the most terrifying fucking shit I've ever watched in my
entire life. I remember being too terrified to watch it based on
based on
your review and this story. So, like, I heard about the oil shortage. And I was like, that's weird. I didn't read too far into it. I assumed it was something to do with some fuckery happening in the Middle East. And then, like, came across this shit when I was prepping for the show. And I was like, well, that's fucking terrifying.
Yeah. So, so before we get into this story, Brad, you live in Baltimore. So do I.
I do.
It's so weird. I literally haven't seen you in a year. Except it on, sucks. Like, Zoom.
But hopefully soon.
Are you fully vaccinated, by the way?
I am vaccinated and fully inoculated, yes.
Oh, all right.
So we're good to go.
Like I was messaging with Terrence today. I was like, oh, shit, because he was like, I get my second shot on Sunday. I was like, oh, shit. I sent him a GIF. I was like, reunion? Like, actually see people, like, humans again. But we both live in Baltimore. Do you remember the ransomware attack in Baltimore?
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
So in May of 2019, Baltimore, Maryland, was compromised with a variant of a ransomware called Robinhood. And Baltimore ended up basically having, like, Baltimore city government
basically what happens is hackers get in and they encrypt all of your files. And they said, we will give you the encryption key to, or the key to decrypt this, but you got to pay. And if you don't by a certain day, we just lock the shit forever. Like, there's no getting around that, right? Like, this encryption is not bullshit. It's very fucking serious. And so in the ransom note, hackers demanded 13 bitcoins, which was roughly $76,000, which is wild because, you know, Bitcoin is like 52 grand of Bitcoin at, today, which is nuts, or 56,000. Yeah. But I think Baltimore ended up paying more than that. Like, like I think $1 million or something, right?
Yeah. Not to mention all the money that went into trying to work around it and try to work through the problem, which I'd imagine is in the millions of dollars.
Oh, 100%, 100%. So yeah, like Baltimore City has actually been affected by this. Many municipalities have been affected by this across the United States. Mostly smaller ones, smaller cities and towns. They go after them because. Guess what? You didn't back your shit up. So what are you going to do, right? And it's probably not up to date and secured as it should be. So basically what happened is the same idea with this Colonial Pipeline is they got into the Colonial Pipeline, which is a pipeline that goes from Texas all the way to like New York, I believe it is. Mm-hmm. Maybe even higher than that. And – they basically said, like, look, we've encrypted all of your shit. So unless you pay up, we're gonna keep this pipeline down. And so I guess they did pay the money. And then they unlocked all of their shit. And then, you know, they're fine now. But they're slowly bringing shit back online. And this Colonial Pipeline is actually responsible for like 45% of the gas on the East Coast, yes, which is crazy.
It's transporting over 100 million gallons of oil per day, or refining that much,
right? Which is which has caused the concern of a gas shortage in the Southeast, and there are literally pictures of people filling giant water tanks. Yeah, full of gas.
Yeah, you sent me some of those pictures.
Dude, I didn't send you the latest one I saw, which was people with clear plastic bags, like trash bags.
Oh my God, what?
Filled with gas. What? Like, are you out of your mind? What if that spills? And it's definitely going to.
What do you mean, if?
You're right. Like, it's going to.
It's a plastic bag.
That'll be like, fine.
Trust me, if I get, you know, the little bit of garbage water in the bottom of my fucking trash can,
like, no,
you know, like even though I've got like the quadruple ply fucking Glad bag in there, like, your gasoline ain't staying out of your bullshit. Like, I'm sorry, it's not.
You know, good luck detailing your car because it's gonna smell like fucking fuel for 7 years. you dumb idiots. But so yeah, people are literally preparing for a gas shortage, which, of course, they're creating one,
right,
by hoarding it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what are your thoughts on this? I mean, Chris Krebs basically said that this is basically a pandemic. Like, this is a thing that's happening all over the world. And the big issue here is, well, there's many issues here, but the big one is cyber or cryptocurrency.
Cryptocurrency is a big problem, partially because
it's untraceable.
It's untraceable, and it's also something that is not really understood by 99.9% of people. Like correct. It's like I know more about it than the average person, and I don't fucking understand.
Right, like that's where I am right now. As I check what my Dogecoin is doing right now.
Right.
We need to get rid of cryptocurrency in 6 months, maybe.
So, and combine that with the fact that cyber warfare, like we've heard it said by experts, you know, like the next major war will be fought through the internet, not necessarily 100%. On a battlefield. And we've seen it already with, you know, fucking shit that Russia does, that China does. that North Korea does, that we, I'm sure, do to other places as
100%.
Well. 100%. Like, yeah. Like, it's
I mean, we started it, by the way.
Like, oh, sure.
Never forget that. We are the ones. That's what that documentary, I'm trying to find the name of it right now because you definitely should watch it. Get terrified. We started that when we basically built that software. It was basically a virus to go in and infiltrate the Iranian nuclear power plant to basically cause the centrifuges to overheat and burn out. We did that shit. That was us. And then that shit got leaked. Somehow it made it out into the public world and people saw it and read the code and shit. And they were like, oh, it's on now. Like, yeah, America, that is American first, man. That is American made.
Well, and here's the annoying part. So the U.S. government, in a lot of cases, does the smart thing and hires the hackers, basically. Like, they hire the people that know the most about this shit because they're the ones that are the experts in the field.
Yep.
But you're still the government. Like, and it's funny because it's an angle that we don't really think about too much. But we should really, as a people, want the government to be really competitive in terms of, like, wages and stuff like that. Because if you want the best people working on this stuff, you have to be competitive with the private sector.
Yeah.
And I feel like if for stuff like this, you want the best people working on this stuff. Like, you want the best of the best out there to be building your safeguards and building your countermeasures and things of that nature to protect people and protect businesses and protect governments and protect all of this stuff from something that's going to be more and more prevalent as time goes along.
Look, cyber warfare is not going to be a fucking joke, man. Like, it's really scary. Like, it's really fucking scary, man. I think the movie was called The Perfect Weapon, by the way, I think. Mm-hmm. But maybe not. Like, it's – we take it very lightly because it feels like it couldn't go, you know, pardon my phrasing, like nuclear. And I don't mean nuclear weapons. I mean just like really big. But that's not true. And we really haven't seen a situation – like, they shut down this pipeline. What makes you think they couldn't shut down all the pipelines? What makes you think they couldn't shut down the grid? It's not impossible. Look what happened in Texas, right? Like, this is the type of shit that's really scary in the documentary where you're just like, oh, please, God, please, somebody, please don't watch this, where they're like, are we just giving bad guys ideas? Like, that's what it feels like the whole time. You hate to even hear this shit, but like, you could look at what happened in Texas where they had that really bad ice storm. Texas ain't ready for that shit. You could wait till the winter time. Yeah, it cools down a little bit. Hey, maybe Texas gets a snowstorm. Boom, you just shut the grid down. What are you going to do? What if you shut the grid down in New York? You shut it down for a week in the middle of winter time where it gets fucking cold as shit in New York or Chicago, right? Where you get one of these epic freezes, but like power's on and shit. Shut down the grid. Major third largest American city, right? It'd be a nightmare. It'd be a nightmare scenario, right? Death, destruction, rioting, like it would just be a nightmare scenario. You could do it. You could do it. I don't want people to do it, but you could do it, right? Like, these are things that are not crazy. Like, I know people are like, we need nuclear power. Is that shit going to be on the, like, on an accessible grid? Like, we live in that world, man. We were able to burn out centrifuges in a nuclear power plant. What makes you think you couldn't make it so that that shit would fucking start heating up more than it should? Like, you don't know. Like, it's terrifying. It's terrifying. Like, sometimes you just go, we just start a fire and just put it, like, or just coal into an oven because you can't hack that shit, right? Like, that's what it kind of makes you think.
So what I'm hearing is Jay, pro fossil fuels.
Yeah, no, I'm a Luddite in that way. That's right. But it's really fucking scary. Like, it's really scary. And this whole thing, like, the pipeline didn't have to be down for a week in order to spur Americans into doing dumb shit like hoarding gas.
Like a day.
A day, right. And now Americans are like, well, let's get all the plastic bags and get gas, right? Like, it doesn't take long. How long does it take for people to think that there's a gas shortage before people start like shooting at each other in fucking gas stations, right? Like,
oh, and here's the other problem too, is that we as a society, especially in like fucking Conspiracyville, where you know all the red states now are prone to panicking anyway.
Yep.
And we just went through a global pandemic, or, you know, we're still in the middle of a global pandemic.
That's right.
Like, it's like a tangible, real thing that you could be fucking stressed about. So, yeah, like you said, it leads to a lot of bad stuff happening. I really hope that both state and federal governments get serious about this shit. And I'm sure they are. But the problem, especially in cybersecurity, is that often the bad actors are always a step ahead of you.
Oh, 100%.
By the time you're figuring out how to clean up the last mess they made, they're already, you know, knee deep into making a new mess for you.
That's right. Well, and you know, your point about state and local and federal folks getting it together is a good one. I'll go a step further. We have to, as a country, stop having states being run by conspiracy theorists, right? Mm-hmm. Like, well, I'm not going to let the federal government come in here and tell me how to update these files. Like, dude, they're not trying to do some shady shit. Yeah. They're trying to make sure your shit doesn't get ransomed so Chicago doesn't get shut down. Or, you know, some small town in the middle of, you know, in the middle of Nevada somewhere, right? Like, you know, I mean, not that anybody gives a shit about Nevada
who lives there. That's the insanely, like, stupid, like federalism has its place, but like the staunch federalists who are just like, oh, the federal government can't tell me what to do, like our state runs things, this is the way, like bro, like they have better resources than you do.
They do.
You have to be willing to take that helping hand,
right? And the problem is, I think a lot of Republican states, especially when it comes from a Democrat, they won't. And I don't think Republicans at the federal level are gonna do shit about this.
Yeah,
I don't. That feels really unfair to say, but it's also really accurate, which is Republicans don't give a shit about this kind of stuff. They don't. They think, oh, cybersecurity, what is that, cancel culture on Facebook? I don't like it. Like, they don't know what the fuck it is.
And that's the problem with being the anti-government party. And that used to be relegated to libertarians specifically, but it's really just bled into Republicans as a whole. Is that they're the, oh, government needs to get out of your life. Like, no, like, we're living in a not only a society and a country, but a world that is constantly finding ways to be more interconnected.
Right.
Like to really knock down previous divisions between us.
That's the goal. Like,
you know, like, I mean, for fuck's sake, like 10 years or 20 years ago, me and Jay could not be sitting here doing what we're doing right now, talking to you.
20 years ago. I mean, you could barely do it 10 years ago.
Yeah. Like society's progressed. And the other thing is, too, society is progressing from a technological standpoint faster than literally in any point in human history.
Yeah. No, right, it's insanely fast.
So you want as much cooperation as possible, not just between localities, not just between states, not just between states and the federal government. You want our government to be partnering with the world as much as possible. Like you really need to work to make this as tight knit a global community as you can, because division ain't going to work for, you know, fighting off threats like this.
All I'm hearing is Brad advocating for a one global government. That's what I'm hearing.
I mean, you know, we're if
look at this fiction, guy. Look at this fucking guy. Listen to him.
if far future science fiction has taught me nothing, is that a unified global government is inevitable anyway.
So it is inevitable.
We might as well accelerate. Oh no! As soon as we discover life on other planets, it's a wrap.
Oh, you know, no! There's no more countries, you know. It's Earth versus you guys. Like, there's nothing else. Like, no, we gotta fight, y'all, and like, we're gonna fight because that, like, we're dumb, caveman, stupid shit.
You know, banging sticks against each other. We don't know what to do, so we gotta beat you up.
Yeah, and then like, we'll become friends eventually, right? Like, that's just how these guys are, right? Yeah, it's the fucking Dragon Ball Z shit.
Though, future science fiction property has Earth still like, man, the USA is fucking around over here and Russia's doing their own thing. Like, nah, we're all fucking Earth, man. We're all Terrans, baby. Like that, that's what we are at this point.
We're like, what's our race? I mean, Terrans. Like, that's it. Yeah, that's it.
There's no races. There's no.
Like, no, you're just an Earthling, dude. And like, let's go fight the Krogan, I guess. Like, I don't know. Yeah. Like that. See, I know video games. Get out of here, guys.
I mean, shit. Even like the Expanse, like Earth's like, oh, we're Earth and Mars sucks. Like, fuck those guys.
Yeah, that's
it. And those guys in the asteroid belt, like, we really don't fuck with them. Like,
they're weird long arms. Get out of here. I gotta get back into that show. I was enjoying it. I know people love Expanse. It's just good trash sci-fi. It is.
I read the preview of the first book. Like, it's like the first five or six chapters. Like,
The show's not bad.
I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good.
The show's not bad.
Yeah.
I fall asleep a lot though. that's what I found. And when I wake up, I'm like, whoa, what's going on? There's like, there's rockets flying in space. Like, it's just crazy. But yeah, it's not bad. It's not bad. Next up, 1 million people. I'm just going to say this and then move on. 1 million people signed up for the ACA after Biden reopens exchanges. Yeah, people still are using the Affordable Care Act.
Funny that.
It's the worst thing ever, guys, right? It was a complete piece of shit. Except not really. And also they kind of like retool things and like – now, like, there's even platinum plans that are like less than $30 a month for certain people. Like, it's like, seriously, there are. Yeah. There was a whole, I was listening to like an NPR conversation about it, and they were just like, even the person on NPR was like, what are these? They're platinum plans for $30? And they were like, no, but for real. Like, if you make a certain amount of money, they're just like, they just give you the top shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, like
during the Trump era, was there a more satisfying, not counting, you know, him losing the election, obviously, shit like that.
Yeah.
But during
the Trump era, I dare you to try to top that.
No. Was there a more satisfying happening than hearing Paul Ryan being forced to admit that, you know, Obamacare is the law of the land?
Nope.
In the wake of John McCain, you know, blowing up that shit at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yep. Suck a dick. Yeah, no, good. Like, it's, look, man, you say what you want about Obamacare or the ACA or whatever, but it's worked. Like, yeah. it's not, you know, the best that we could get and everything else, but it worked. Like, it helped a lot of fucking people.
Continues to work. It's right. Working. Like, it's, you know, it's gotten better over time, and it could still stand to be better. And that's the frustrating thing for Democrats that are slow to want to aggressively make the ACA better is, like, you can point to that, like, it's working now. Like, imagine how much better it could work if we make it better.
Right.
Like, why are you dragging your feet on this? Like we now – the proof is there. Oh, yeah. But when it started – yeah, when it started, rocky start. But that ain't now. That was then, this is now.
Like, I don't know, man. Like, I'm on the ACA website, and I'm just kind of looking, right? Like, just looking to see, you know, just like what I could get for my, you know, for my household, right? Like, and, you know, just trying to see. Browse plans. Like, this is me, my wife, my daughter. All right, this is like too many things. All right.
So not, I mean, here's how I know, by the way, that like American exceptionalism is truly dead. Like, not in the bullshit dumb way that Republicans like to thump their chest about it, but in like the real way that it used to be.
Right.
In any previous like political universe or, you know, social universe, it would be embarrassing to us that like England, Japan, Canada, like all the Scandinavian countries, like all these like Germany, like all these countries
doing better than us.
Not only, but like have everyone is insured. Everyone has health insurance.
Right.
And you can debate the merits of the insurance and you know the proclivities of the system, but everyone's covered.
Yeah.
There was a time where Republicans would be embarrassed by that. Like if Eisenhower was president today, like Eisenhower would be like, this is bullshit. Like,
what are we even doing here?
Right. Like we need to fucking get going. Like, we won wars. There's no way
we won wars. Yeah. What are we doing?
Yeah.
Like, this is not bad, right? Like, this is expensive, but like, if I did the platinum plan, like I don't get any, like, I really don't get any money off, because like my household income is too high. But like, comparing it to what I pay in insurance right now, I mean, that's not bad. Like, it really isn't. It's not bad. I mean, looking at those numbers, it ain't cheap. No. But no, it's about what I pay. Like, because I don't get anything written off. But like, if I was getting a significant amount, and I think a lot of people who don't have health insurance or not great health insurance are not getting, they would get a ton of subsidies. So yeah, no, the ACA is not bad. And that was Kaiser Permanente for the platinum plan.
Yeah.
Right. Like, come on now. Kaiser Permanente is not bad. Like, that's not like Joe's insurance. You just get it at your local Pick and Save. Like, it's a real insurance company. No, I think that's dope. I think a million people signing up just goes to show you people need help. So
and that's just further at the initial opening of the enrollment period. Like, this enrollment period is going to last for several months. So I hope that, you know, more people that need the help get it. And it's nice to have an administration that's actually going to promote signing up for it.
Yeah, again. or it's on maintenance. Yeah, they put the website on maintenance, like,
during the day.
During yeah, it's only open 3 a.m. to 3:30 a.m. Like, come on, man. Jesus Christ. He's just such assholes. Next up, Arizona GOP state senator now regrets doing the recount, saying, quote, "It makes us look like idiots." Yeah,
this whole fucking story has been wild. We haven't talked about it on the show because I think that it kind of got started in full in between our last recording. Good Lord.
Hashtag cyber ninjas.
Why are they called cyber ninjas?
Because they're dorks, Brad.
I guess. Fucking dorks. I guess.
Local state senator Paul Boyer said, yeah, it makes us look like idiots, to the New York Times. Said, I didn't think it would be this ridiculous. It's embarrassing to be a state senator at this point. Boyer's joined a growing army of Arizonans appalled by the Republican dominated state Senate's recount operations that targets only races won by Democrats in the county that includes Phoenix. Yeah, dude. Democrats win in Phoenix. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a city.
It's a fucking major city, you idiot.
Yeah.
The private company hired by the Senate, Cyber Ninjas, which is run by the guy who invented the QCAT, I'd like to point out, has no experience with ballots or elections and is owned and operated by the right-wing conspiracy theorist Doug Logan, who subscribes to the big lie that the presidential election was rigged against Donald Trump. Yes, that's Mr. QCAT himself, Doug Logan, who changed his name because he was so embarrassed about that, by the way.
It is amazing. It is amazing to me that there are so many successful, like, batshit Trump Republican businessmen. Like, I can't believe these people can walk and chew gum simultaneously, much less operate successful companies.
Lynn Wood? How? How is that guy a lawyer? A real lawyer?
Mike Lindell's fucking, like, a multi-millionaire, like, walking around here like a fucking idiot.
Just ruining his business, by the way. Right. Every day he says something, people are just like, I'm just not going to, like, I think it was Kohl's was like, we're not carrying the MyPillow anymore.
Yeah.
Like, get out of here.
But that dude was a success. Like, he built a huge corporation that made a shitload of money. Like, how? You're an idiot.
Well, never forget that these guys are really good. They might be really good at, like, marketing a product. But when it comes time to, like, talk about normal shit, they're just not good at it.
Well, it's the Ben Carson theory. Yes. just applied to business and not just doctors. Like the Ben Carson theory is actually a thing about doctors in general. Like, if you happen to know any doctors in your real life, they might be very smart people, but you might find they're very stupid about a lot of other things because they have to be so smart about the thing that they make their money.
Yeah, they hyper concentrate on one thing, and then after that, it's like, hey, try not to eat cat food, Ben Carson. He's like, oops, sorry.
my luggage.
Right.
So he can separate
conjoined twins at the head, but he can't remember where his luggage is.
So the journalists are apparently viewing some auditors using pens as they're auditing these ballots, which, you know, not good, considering that you can alter what they say. My favorite tidbit from this whole thing is that people that work for this company are putting the ballots under UV light.
Yes.
And the reason that they're doing this, Jay, is because they're trying to detect traces of bamboo on the ballots. Why would they do such a thing?
Yeah, this is so racist.
because if the ballots have bamboo on them, clearly it is proof that China intervened with the presidential election.
Yeah, I love racism so much sometimes. Like, like, listen to how absurd that is. If it has traces of bamboo on it, because, you know, as we all know, people in China just can't stop using bamboo all the time, right? Like, they're using it for weapons and working in the fields, but also hacking American elections. But what I think is funny is, like, imagine that being applied to any other group, like any other group. Like, that's crazy. We're checking under UV light to see if there's any fried chicken grease in case a black person did. Like, all right, like, that's unacceptable. Or we're using UV light to see if there's any lack of any seasoning at all to see if white people were involved, right? Like, we're checking to see if there's perhaps there's maybe some gefilte fish that we can find just in case the Jews might be involved. Like,
yeah, there's traces of epidermic poison. The Russians
must be doing it. Like, come on, man. Like, we saw a couple of traces of the old vodka on it. I don't know, Vladimir Putin. What do we have to say about it? Like, that's so, like, that's such a stupid thing to say that
out loud.
Like, out loud. That it made the day before, because, okay, like, the bamboo thing came at, like, let's say on Friday. They're like, oh, bamboo, let's check that one, right? And you're like, that's dumb, it doesn't make sense. The day before, or 2 days before, they were using UV light to check to see if there were folds, Brad, in the documents, because that would prove fraud. Okay. How? Like, no one ever asked these people, how? Like, yeah. It's a very simple question or a simple word to stump them by saying, well, how does a fold prove anything? Well, I mean, obviously, like, when I'm cheating, I like to fold the paper. But when I'm not cheating, I like to keep it unfolded. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? That doesn't make any sense. But they really legitimately said that this was a thing that they were checking for.
Well, and to be fair, to be clear here, this isn't truly about getting, like, Trump in the White House. Like, that's not going to happen no matter what.
No.
They can find, like, a million votes and, like, that wouldn't happen.
Right. Still lost, like, mad other states, dude.
Right. It's about fucking with people's confidence about the next election.
Yeah.
But here's the problem. The only people that are going to be like, oh, this is bullshit and I don't trust this now are your voters. And
bingo.
They'll be less likely to come out.
What do you think happened in Atlanta, dude? Or rather, Georgia.
It's exactly what happened in Georgia.
Yeah, Lynn Wood was like, don't vote.
Or they're like, this is bullshit. Don't vote. You're just helping the process. And meanwhile, like, actual Republicans are like, don't listen to what Lynn Wood's saying. Like, oh, it's bullshit that Trump lost, but please vote. Yeah. And Democrats are just like,
yeah, keep going, dude.
We gonna do this.
I mean, here's the thing. Their conspiracy bullshit very well may lose them the midterms because of it.
Yeah. And despite that, they are stacking the deck in every other conceivable manner possible
yep.
to make it happen.
But if people think, like, all you need to do is convince Republicans that, hey, the deck is stacked in your favor, and this is all bullshit. That's a recipe for them going, I'll just stay home.
They got it. On the ballot.
Hey, we got it. Don't worry about it. All right. Democrats gonna come out in droves, dude. Like, all that bullshit that you're doing. Look, I mean, we haven't talked about all the, you know, chicanery with elections, and it is insane and it is serious, which is why you need to pass H.R. 1. But we didn't even talk about that. But all it's doing is pissing Democrats off, man. That's right. All it's doing. It's not deterring any of them. It's pissing them off. Telling them you can't bring water and shit. Okay. You're pissing people off. And there is nothing that Americans do better than bitter behavior because yeah, you've made them mad.
Vote out of spite.
Yeah. You can't vote. Okay. We'll see about that. Yeah. That's what they do. I'm like, and look, Republicans are bad at like boycotts and shit where they're like, I'm going to buy a Mr. Coffee and then smash it. Like, that doesn't make sense. Liberals are not bad at that shit.
No.
Like, look how many people really like, hey, we don't fuck with Chick-fil-A. People still don't really fuck with Chick-fil-A. Like, there's some people just never stopped. But people who stopped, they're just like, yeah, we're just done with that.
I haven't eaten in like 2 years.
I haven't eaten since that shit started. I don't really eat fast food like that anyway, but I would never go there.
Look, I know that you guys like talk shit on Chick-fil-A all the time, and that's fine. I get it. Like, you know, it's not that good. Look, I like Chick-fil-A. It's fucking delicious. And I'm like, you know what? My principles are more important than this delicious chicken sandwich.
I like that Brent was like, let me defend Chick-fil-A for a second to say fuck them.
Like, it's not their food that's driving you away. It's all the other shit. But
that's funny.
It's some things are more important.
Right. They just are. Yeah. Right? They just are. That's true. Like, I mean, it is what it is. So, yeah, liberals know how to hold a grudge, dude. So, like, you piss them off at your own peril, man. They're not going to break it.
You literally, like, you pissed them off for 4 years.
Yep.
And look what happened in November.
Yep.
Like Donald Trump had a lot to do with the fact that he got blown out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, absolutely. You know, I mean, by all means, continue enraging us. That's the way to win.
Look, if you really want to piss people off, have him run ads for Republicans during the midterms. People are like, I don't like that fucking guy. Like,
again, too lazy. He's too lazy.
Yeah, I mean, he really is.
he really, trust me, he will do the bare minimum that he has to do.
Oh, I would love for them
to prop himself up.
I would love for them to think that they could amp Republicans, because they would amp Republicans by using Trump in like ads. Like, but that's gonna make Democrats mad. They'd be like, I fucking hate that guy. Yeah. Like, I haven't heard to hear from him, and then I gotta hear from his ass now. Oh no, hell no. Let's blow the doors off of this shit again. All right, let's talk about this story. This is the last serious story before we get into this weekend stupid story. Yeah. Okay, so shit is going in very bad directions between the Israeli government and the Palestinians. Basically, over the last couple of weeks, and certainly over the last couple of days, there's been sort of all out violence in Jerusalem, mostly because of the settlements again. Where in Jewish courts they're evicting Palestinians in certain parts of the – I'm going to butcher this, so I apologize. Sheikh Jarrah neighborhood in East Jerusalem, where they've been evicting Palestinian families who are living there. And then they have been building – you know, knocking those settlements down and then building housing units for Jews only there. It's a complicated history. I'm not going to pretend it is not. But that is what is spurring basically the Palestinians did rocket attacks that almost hit Jerusalem. The Israeli government sent police in to deal with some protesters and what have you. And it, of course, got violent. I think as of right now, 28 people have been killed. 28 Palestinians have been killed. 10 of which have been kids.
Well, and to make to make matters worse, Hamas is retaliated.
Yes, they did the rocket attacks. Which, you know, obviously does not keep them on the moral high ground by any means.
No, and that's the thing about this whole situation is that from the government standpoint, there really are no heroes in this situation.
No.
But this is and we see spikes in this conflict over, you know, every few years just because it's been ongoing for decades at this point.
Longer than that. Right. I mean, this is ancient history shit.
Yeah. But what do you expect to happen if you're Israel? Like if you and maybe perhaps this is what ultimately they want, because the more, you know, Hamas acts recklessly and pushes back with force, the more justification they probably have to respond in kind.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I remember having a conversation with my nephew, who's a very smart kid. And we're talking about India and Pakistan,
yeah.
Right? And it was a conversation about, like, what is his – because he was doing some debate stuff about, you know, what would Modi do? Would Modi strike Pakistan? And he was like, yeah, I think there's a chance he could. And I was like, yeah, he's young. So I'm like, no. Like, what you don't understand about foreign policy is it's all bullshit. It's all bullshit. They bullshit each other. Like,
yeah.
They want to keep enemies as at the gates as possible, because that, mm-hmm. that gives them power. And
which is why you see a lot of that conflict taking place in, like, Kashmir and more central right. ground places like that.
So. Right. Like, hey, you're going to have it on mainland? That's not really what we're trying to do. Like, let's fucking have the, you know, Ministry of Funny Walks against each other every day in Kashmir. So it's – which is one of the wildest things. If you've never seen that, you should look it up on YouTube. It's fucking crazy. Happens every day. And so – like, the whole thing is – the reason why I bring up the India-Pakistan thing in light of this is because this is an ongoing thing in a very similar way. Largely, what you have is a war between two groups that is religiously based. Good luck resolving that. You can't, right? Because everybody knows they're 100% right. I have never seen a topic more interesting to find out how hardlined people who you think are not hardlined are than talking about this topic. Yeah. Like, if you're Palestinian or even if you're just Arab and Jewish, I'm like, oh, surely let me talk to a reasonable. Nope. I'm like, wow, you're a fucking hardliner on this too. How? You're not a hardliner on anything. But it is because
it's religion.
It's religion, right? And it's – and, like, there's no right or wrong answer. Like, it's really hard because you think that you're right, or you know that you're right, and the other side knows that they're right, right? And there's no fucking compromise. But what I do know is what's right and what's wrong is kicking people out of their houses and continue to build settlements while then pretending that you want to come to the table. That's not coming to the table. Like, you can't keep kicking people out of their homes and destroying them and building new settlements and saying this land is ours and go, well, we're trying to compromise everybody. Like, no, both sides have to stop doing that. Like, not that the Palestinians are doing that to the Jews. That's not what's happening. But what I'm saying is you both have to stop building. Like, both of you have to actually stop building. Like, you can't both be building. And certainly, you know, Israel builds more permanent structures because they have money to do it, right? Like that's like, we can't pretend that it's like 50-50. It's not 50-50 in that regard. And look, I don't think Israel's all evil. I don't think Hamas, Hamas is definitely a terrorist organization, like, full stop. But I don't think that Palestinians are all evil here either. I just, like, I read people's comments and I see it and I'm just like, everyone is so sure that they're 100% right.
And that's the thing about situations like this, is that this is not a smart situation to take a hardline stance in.
It's not.
Take a hardline stance in. Very rarely is war a situation that's worthy of a hardline stance in general? Like there have not been very many wars where it is very clearly here are the good guys and here are the bad guys.
Right. Like, that's why World War II is like the perfect example, because it's like, right, these are the bad guys. Like, it was, yes, full stop. No one had to think about it.
Yeah. Everything else is pretty murky around the edges, in most cases.
Right.
So taking a hardline stance based on your faith is probably not a smart idea, but it's also the most difficult thing to tell people to do. Again, coming from two atheists, perhaps basing all of our beliefs on the invisible dudes in the sky, not the best idea in general.
It's not.
But, it's not. You know.
I'm telling you, man, like, you really, like, it, yeah, it doesn't work. But, like, I'm telling you, man, like, there's nothing more fascinating to talk to people that you think are, like, really easygoing about things. And you're just like, yeah, what do you think about this? They're like, and then these people all need to die. You're like, wow, slow down. But it's just, it's fascinating. Like, on both sides, it's fascinating. Look, I don't care whether you're pro-Israel or pro-Palestine or, you know, somewhere in the middle. Like, and this is going to sound like super cliche, but, you know, it's like kids getting killed, man. Like, that's, yeah, like, come on, man. Like, whoever side you're on, man, you should see that as unacceptable. You should see it as unacceptable.
And I think that ultimately the humanist stance is always the correct one in situations like this, where it's like,
come together.
People should be allowed to live and prosper. Like, that's ultimately at the end of the day what it should be. And it's really fucking tragic that this is a, you know, conflict that at least in the terms of Israel and Palestine has been going on for, you know, 80 years. But like you said, this has been going on since the fucking dawn of civilized times.
Yeah, they're like, hey, are you one of those religions of Abraham? Yeah, fuck you, man. Fuck you. And just start fighting each other.
What I find fascinating, though, in terms of the American politics side of it,
good luck,
is that in a pretty short amount of time, not knee-jerk defending everything that Israel is doing in this conflict, all of a sudden has pretty much become the mainstream Democratic position. Most mainstream Democrats are actually willing to be critical towards Israel, where even 7 years ago, you'd have a hard time finding anybody that would be in that boat.
So that's a really good point. I'm of two minds on that. I think you have to give Barack Obama a lot of credit for that.
Mm-hmm.
I know people will not. But he was the first president in a long time for the Democrats who was willing to, like, not go all the way, because there's never been a Democratic, or there's never been any American president, right, who's been able to be like, this is bullshit, knock it the fuck off. Like, none. They all have to take this, like, very measured stand. Oh, don't do that, but we understand. Like, you know, they've all done that. But he got a lot of shit. He got a lot of shit from American, more hardline American Jews on that, because he was just like, why don't we just go back to the 1967 borders? And they were like, how dare you? It's like, wait, didn't we already agree on this? But he was willing to push back some. I'm not trying to say, like, he did more than, you know, going further than anybody. Like, it's just, he kind of did, actually, because nobody ever went there. Like, no one did. George W. Bush before him? No. He just was like, well, Israel's right. I'm not going to really say anything because my hardcore Christian beliefs think that, you know, God's going to come back and kill everybody over there. So this is all working out for me. Like, I mean, spoiler alert, that's why we hardcore support it, because we have a bunch of lunatic religious people in this country that think that the end times are going to happen over there. So they're waiting on the second coming. Spoiler alert. I know people are like, that's not why. That's 100%.
It's literally the basis of the fucking Christian religion.
Yeah, it is. Like, that's what people believe.
One of the backbones. Get all the Jews to Israel so that we can
nuke it.
Rock and roll.
Yeah.
It's rapture time, baby.
Yeah, they fucking believe that. And so when you don't support them, they're like, well, what about the fucking murder of all of them? Like, that's not positive for Jews. Like, what are you talking about? So I give credit to him because he was able to push back. And I think when people saw him push back and he didn't destroy him, they did a light pushback, more people, you know, it's like gay marriage, right? Like, people are like, oh, it didn't blow up the world. All right. We're on board, right? Like, they slide a little bit more. But that takes leadership, right? Understanding how to, like, put forth something, take the brunt of it so that you can move not just move the Overton window, actually move your party on something, right? Like, it's not just about how you feel about it, but how you actually, you know, make changes. The other person who I would give credit for it being the people being the way they are about it is Netanyahu. He has made it not – he has destroyed the idea of making the U.S. government support like them being in support of Israel. And he just started like eating Republican dick. And so he was like, I'm going to go to the joint session of Congress and basically only speak to Republicans. Or I'm going to go upon the Republicans' invite during my election year and shit like that, which never happened before. And when he did that, and he basically hard sided with Republicans, he gave Democrats a space to go, well, fuck that. Yeah. We're not joining onto that party. So, yeah, you can thank him for a lot of it. So, yeah. I don't know, man. It's not an easy topic. It's not. And I didn't want to skip it because it's, you know, obviously huge news. But, I don't have any solutions, man. Like, I don't. Stop being religious. Like,
I mean, nor should we.
And that's not something I would tell anybody.
I think that ultimately when you have – if Israel is serious about a nonviolent solution – you have to come to the table in good faith. And the problem is that what Israel terms as a nonviolent solution is, hey, we will dictate terms to you and you will abide by them. Like, there's not a whole lot of back and forth negotiation. Israel being the party in power, being the party with, you know, like you said, the resources to kind of hold, you know, be able to do what they want to do in this region.
Right.
Has to be the one willing to make concessions. And look, a lot of those concessions are not going to be popular with your citizens, just not. But if you truly want to solve the problem, then that's what you have to do. The way to not do it is to basically disenfranchise the Palestinian people in the country, which is essentially the way that they've gone, and then they're just trying to relocate them to wherever they feel like it. On top of that. But I mean, but like they've literally created pretty much an apartheid state at this point.
Well, Brad. Yeah, that would certainly be an ironic thing to happen. That they would isolate and treat a minority group poorly. Like, I don't know if people see the irony in like the history of that. Like, that's just so weird to me. It's not easy, right? Because you can't say, well, they should just be welcoming to everybody because, like, dude, look where they are.
Yeah.
They're, like, you know, given an opportunity, there are many countries surrounding them that would attack them and blow them off the fucking map if they could, right? Like, they just would because of bigotry and, you know, anti-Semitism and everything else. And so I think it's ridiculous to pretend like that's not true. Like, that's definitely true. Yeah. That doesn't mean that you do the same shit that they would do. Right? Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I'm not in Israeli politics. So I can't, and I don't know all of the hard detail of it, and I will happily admit that, to say definitively, like, Israel's 100% right. But like, I hear people say that and I'm like, that's crazy to me. That feels crazy to me. It feels crazy to me. So I don't know. All right.
Again, I mean, before we get to the fun stuff, like, this is just the shit that I observe constantly. And like I said, we see this all the time. And how many, you know, wars throughout human history have been primarily driven by religion? And just, that's why I can't understand how people, but like, voluntarily buy into this stuff. That's I just don't get it. Like, I really don't. It's the cause of so much strife, so much, you know, hatred, killing, suffering. It's the direct cause of it in many cases.
That is correct.
Most cases.
I, like, again, I'm not one of these like douche atheists who are like, you people shouldn't be religious. You can be whatever you want. I just wish that people stop using it as a shield to bash people over the head.
Not a shield, a cudgel. Like you want to use it as a shield to protect yourself, fine.
No, I think they use it like that shield that's on the ground, like the Captain America shield. I protect myself when I need to, and I use it as a fucking weapon the rest of the time. That is not a defensive weapon in the hands of certain people. Like, it's just not. But it looks defensive. Right. Like, that's the whole point. It's like, this is my religion. This is my thing. And it's just like, we don't need gay marriage. Stop. You know, you're just like, you're just beating someone over the head with these things. Right. And I just wish that people, like, I don't mind. Like, I'm just not a person. I mean, I grew up in a religious family. My family is still religious. Like, they didn't come with me. Right. Like, I'm on the outside. Right. So I, like, they're good people and they don't do shit like, you know, using it, like you said, like as a cudgel, right? But there are people who do. And there's plenty of people who don't, right? Like, there, you know, I'm not going to pretend that every religious person uses it like that. But I wish more people were like the, you know, like the former instead of the latter, which is using it as a weapon.
I just wonder, and I know someone who I could probably have a conversation with about this. And maybe you have, if folks that are well-meaning about religion and don't use it as a cudgel, and it truly is just kind of like just the guiding force for them to get to the day, if it gives them a crisis of faith to see people wield their religion in a fashion that's untoward.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. So. We'll ask him.
He'll answer. He'll listen to this and he'll tell me. So
yeah, no, he will. He'll tell you. Yeah. That's why I respect him because he doesn't do that, and he has his own, like, he has a brain and he uses it, yeah. Right? Like, you can have faith and believe in things and not be a fucking idiot. Like, it's not required. You don't have to be a moron. But I think there's just fundamentally something about. And he's not like this, but there's something about knowing that you're right about something, right? Like when I talk about like movies and stuff like that, and I'm like, ah, dude, I told you, or some shit like that. That's one thing. Like, doing a dude, I told you about like the metaphysical universe is a different story, right? Like, that's a very different line to run. And when you think you know, and you like, you know in your heart of hearts that there is nothing wrong with what you are doing, it makes it impossible to negotiate.
Right. Damn the consequences.
Right.
By the way. So
I'm going to heaven. I don't know what the fuck you people are doing. I'm going to heaven. So allow me to blow up this mosque or blow up this synagogue or blow up this church or whatever. Like, because I know in my heart of hearts I'm right. That shit is not a recipe for negotiating with sane people.
Yeah.
And again, that's not all religious people. It's not all the people, all the Palestinians. It's not all the Jewish folks in Israel. It's not. But it's enough people who think like that that make this shit impossible to fix. So, Godspeed, I guess. Like,
do you think that conflict resolves itself in our lifetime? That specific conflict?
Do we find aliens? Are we going to war with aliens? Because if we're going to war with aliens, then I feel like maybe then it does.
So what you're saying is
we need aliens.
The key to fixing all of Earth's woes is we need to find extraterrestrial life and murder them.
Oh, hell yes. Hell yes. Or we find extraterrestrial life and they just like give us like the keys to all the like cool shit.
Well, look, fingers crossed. Like, you got the Mars rover. Doing his thing.
Mars helicopter. Don't forget about
it. He's got the helicopter. Look, all I'm saying is that what better way to celebrate the re-arrival of Mass Effect this Friday by finding and unearthing the Prothean ruins that will help us discover mass relay technology.
Think about it.
Remember, it's not Pluto. It's a mass relay that we just have to thaw out. It's a mass. And then we can go to other solar systems.
Think about it. Brad's telling you.
Get your Ezo ready. Ezo's gonna be the new Dogecoin. Dogecoin of the Dogecoin of the 22nd
century. I'm fine with it.
Let's fucking go.
How much is it selling at right now? How low is it?
buy Ezo for nothing. And yeah. It could be like a multi-billion. Your grandchildren's grandchildren could be multi-billionaires.
There you go.
In the future.
So. Look, think about it, man. Safe Moon is very popular right now. all right. So let's move into this right, week
I'm
in
gonna,
stupid.
I'm gonna click the link. I haven't seen the story beforehand. I don't know what Jay picked.
Did you see this?
All right.
Go ahead and read the headline there, right. Brad.
California gubernatorial candidate Caitlyn Jenner did not vote last year because, in an ironic twist, she was busy golfing.
Quote, I just wound up going to play golf and I said, eh, I'm not going to do that. But vote for me for governor. Fuck off. Right. So I didn't have a chance to talk about Caitlyn Jenner announcing that she was running for governor of California. Caitlyn Jenner literally is the best thing to happen to modern politics. She is.
I absolutely cannot wait to hear the squaring of this circle.
All right. Here we go. How dare you? Well, let me tell you something. This is genius. Caitlyn Jenner proves without a shadow of a doubt that Democrats walk the walk and talk the talk. Right? Caitlyn Jenner is trans. Not one statement about, I don't like her because she's trans. We respect that you're trans.
Yeah.
We think you suck, period.
Because you're an idiot.
Right. Like, she proves that the modern world is here. It's coming. Right? It's right around the bend where you can have a transgender former Olympic athlete douchebag, and I mean that male or female doesn't right, really
in the,
matter
in a non-gender
in sense. A non-gender sense, fucking douchebag, Kardashian adjacent person, Kanye West adjacent person. And it doesn't, Democrats will not vote for you because you're a part of a minority group. They will vote for you because you stand for the policies they agree with, right? Republicans now get to have an opportunity to decide, do they hate trans people more or do they hate Democrats more? And my guess is they hate trans people more. So it's going to be fucking high goddamn hilarious to watch Caitlyn Jenner try to square the circle of getting Republicans to vote for her where they hate trans people fundamentally. But she says all the dirtbag shit they agree with. You think they're going to vote for her? I don't think so. I think she's going to get blown the fuck out in this recall.
I mean, to be fair, like her vote share is probably going to be inconsequential anyway, because I don't think Gavin Newsom's going to get recalled regardless.
No,
so it kind of negates the need for question two. My favorite, if I could pick one quote that is the perfect encapsulation of the demographic that Republican politicians are trying to appeal to. Caitlyn Jenner has given that to us.
Yep.
Because she went on Hannity and she talked about like the incompetence of government. And she said, I was at my airplane hangar.
Yeah, they don't even hear themselves. They don't hear
and
themselves.
The guy right across, he was packing up his hangar and said, and I said to him, "Where are you going?" And he says, "I'm moving to Sedona. I can't take it anymore. I can't walk down the street and see homeless people. So I'm packing up my airplane hangar," which everybody has. I have three. "And I'm moving to Sedona."
Obviously.
"Because of all the fucking poors that are living on the street out here in California."
Yep.
And I'm sick at what the government, like, that the government won't help them. I'm sick at seeing this. Like, I can't stand to look at these people anymore.
Yep, I'm out.
Look, you said this on national television.
Yeah.
And you formulated this thought in your head, and the words came out of your mouth, and you thought that this would be a sane, reasonable thing to say.
Yo, she's the same person who came out and was like, "I don't think trans athletes should be able to participate in sports in high school." I was like, I think that issue is very complex. I think it's way more complex than a lot of people give it credit. And I think most people are fucking wrong, right? On both sides. Everything is equal. No, it's not. We can't allow trans kids to be so... Also dumb, right? Also wrong, right? Like, it's just like meathead jocks and the everything is equal fucking kumbaya crowd. Like, that's... Stop. You're both extreme and it's dumb. Please stop talking about it. People who never play a sport, same people are like, "Sports are stupid in it and nobody should play them. Who gives a shit?" They have all these opinions. And then the meathead jocks who get punched in the head for a living are like, "Let me tell you about gender issues." All right. Both of you stop. It's fucking dumb. But maybe you don't weigh in on that issue right now. You're a trans woman and you're like, "I'm going to take the stance with asshole Republican senators or governors who are banning kids from playing sports." Okay, that makes sense. She's an idiot. She's an idiot. She's an idiot. Like, you're better off just saying nothing. "Hey, what are your opinion on that?" I'm not running for a high school mayor or like high school president.
High school mayor.
Like, I'm not running for that. Like, I'm not running for that. Like, get out of here. Would you ban it in California? I would leave it exactly as it is. Next? Yeah. Like, no. But, yeah, no, I don't find Caitlyn Jenner to be intriguing as a candidate. But it's not because she's not trans. I mean, Andy and I talked about this, like, maybe a year or so ago. It's like, Democrats will shit on someone all they want. But they will, like, "Look, but you got to respect that she's trans." Like, that's who we are as people. Like, "Look, man, she's trans. Like, respect that. She's a piece of shit, but she's a piece of shit. Don't call her Bruce. That's fucked up. That's rude. She's a piece of shit. Caitlyn is a piece of shit." And that's okay to say.
It's like,
that's progress.
Like, this whole interview with Dana Bash is just like, everything you learn is better than the last part of it. Like Dana Bash asked her about, What her thoughts about, like, were down ticket races? And she's like, "Nah, I don't really pay attention to those. I just care about ballot initiatives. Like, that's all I really care about." I'm just like, you're running to be the governor. Like it's literally the closest that I've ever seen someone. Like, Kanye had a more well thought out platform than Caitlyn Jenner does. It is run for president.
I'm surprised that Kanye isn't her running mate.
Well, like, he lives in Wyoming, Jay. He's not a carpetbagger. Come on.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, you're right. Oh, my God. Like, I just... No, I think maybe
Kanye will take Liz Cheney's house seat.
Oh, my God.
The birthday party's first representative in Congress.
God damn it, Brett! I hate you so much.
I don't want Kanye to run. I don't want Kanye to be president, but I don't mind Kanye being a Republican member of the House of Representatives.
Yeah, I mean, that's not bad.
That's the kind of entertaining shit that I'm here for. I'm
sorry. I kind of want it. Now that you point that out, yeah, I kind of want that. Yeah, like, there's enough people in the House to dull any power he has. Like, I don't need him as a senator.
Yeah,
fuck that.
Literally put him on whatever committee you want. I will be there for those hearings. I will have C-SPAN on fucking live.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Shit.
Come on.
Who don't want to see it? Who don't want to see it? I want him to challenge AOC to a debate like that. Yeah, I want that. Just like Marjorie Taylor Greene after she finishes reading the 14 pages of the Green New Deal.
I'm still waiting on her to get finished with that.
So is she.
Yeah.
That woman is a fucking dullard. All right. I think that is it for us. We will see you guys next week for another episode. Any parting words there, Brad?
Just if you run for political office, you might want to make sure that it's something that you actually want to do instead of just doing it for a lark. So,
yeah. At one point, Jenner says, quote, because I'm cute and adorable. No, you're not.
Yeah. By the way.
And so that's not because you're trans. I just don't find you cute and adorable because I think you're a fucking hideous piece of shit person. Like, I just do.
Since you weren't on last week, are you also dreading in 20 years when President Logan Paul is running the country from the White House?
The only thing I can hope is that he gets enough brain damage while boxing. But that might make it easier for him to be elected as a Republican, honestly. I hate that guy. Wait, is he the younger one or the older one? He's the one who's like the successful boxer, right?
No, I think Jake Paul's the successful boxer, but I think Jake Paul's also the bigger trash. Well, no. Logan's the bigger trash human. He's the guy that went to the suicide forest for funsies in Japan.
Yeah. And they just left that up on YouTube.
Yeah.
White people get a lot of leeway, man. Like,
we sure do.
You do. Like, that's amazing. That's amazing. That's fucking amazing. Meanwhile, the mayor of Baltimore stole a couple of gift cards. They won't let her live it down. Jesus Christ. And by they, I mean us. We will not ever let her live it down. That's right. Get out of here, you fucking loser.
Look, we suffered with a lot to get a cool mayor. Now, I'm saying I don't live in Baltimore City, but like we suffered through a lot to finally get a fucking legit mayor.
Dude, I love Brandon Scott. He's awesome. Like, yeah. He told people to pull your mask up, shorty. Come on, man. And he's got like a hardcore Baltimore accent. I love it. And he's 35, which makes me really feel like I've done nothing in my life.
Does it weird you out that a guy that's younger than you is the mayor of Baltimore? Because it weirds me out that a guy younger than me is the mayor.
Yeah, it's weird. I'm like, you're 35. You're 35. Like, you're 35. Get out of here. You haven't even lived your life. Shut up. He's 35. Like, yeah, I love it, though. Like, he seems to be doing a pretty good job. Good.
But at the same time, you see him doing it, and I know you think to yourself when you see him doing it, you're like,
yes. Yeah, yeah. No, I know. It bothers me. It does. It does. It bothers me. But then I realize that I have so much opposition research that I record every single week that I could never be elected to anything at this point. I would have to literally delete every show we've ever had.
It's Baltimore. You might be all right. You got that D next to your name.
Yeah, that's true, man. You're not wrong. You know?
And like I said, if you ever wanted to really like blow up TNP Studios, like blow it up, like make it super successful. I'm just saying it might be a good make good business sense.
What am I doing? So you're advising me to do a Trump, like just run it for popularity and see if you win and shit.
I don't want you to win. Like, I just want you to run just for exposure. That's all.
Yeah, that's what they told him too. That's what they told him too. This guy got COVID and he's fucking standing up there looking like an idiot without a mask on. Yeah.
Well, but see you have
see to how like- your friends treat you. See what Brad's trying to do.
Yeah.
Brad. The internet guru, Florida man, Brad Parscale.
Better idea. Primary Brandon Scott, but don't actually try to run against him. Just make it very clear that you're just there to promote your podcast network.
Huh. It's not a bad idea. It's a business opportunity. My catchphrase, pull your mask up, shorty.
That's right.
I like that guy, though. I like that we have a mayor with an afro. It's awesome. This is fucking fantastic. It's fantastic. All right. That's it for us. And we will see you guys next time.
See ya.